Welcome to Electric Lawn Talk. Each week, the electric lawn care professionals get together to talk about the electric lawn and landscape business and have some fun along the way. Whether you are in the business, thinking of getting started, or just want to hear the tips, tricks, struggles, and victories of the move to electric, you are in the right place. Let's get started.
Hey, good evening, everyone. Welcome to Electric Lawn Talk. Steven here with EcoMo. Got the boys with us tonight. Got Sean with Luminary Lawns. Got William with LiveSust. My man Jamar with the Peaceful Lawn and Garden down in Houston. Electron over in Lakeland, Florida. Got Sandy in Riverview, Florida. And I got Mr. Michael Reed in South Carolina. Hello, gentlemen. How is everybody this evening?
Super fantastic.
Doing very well.
Yeah. Wonderful.
Doing great. Thank you.
That's awesome, man. Hey, guys. So, interesting. So we've been ramping up our business. We're about 4 years into doing what we're doing. And, you know, we're talking about growing the business. Obviously, we've been growing the business each year, every year. And one of the things that I've really become aware of lately is a lot of missed opportunities with existing clients that we already have to upsell other services that we offer. So I want to read the definition of upselling to everyone, just so you guys can see kind of what the textbook definition of this is. And then I want to spin this definition and I want to jump in. I want to get you guys feedback on what you guys are doing to upsell your services, to bring in additional money from the clients that you already have. Here's the definition. Upselling is the act of selling products or services to a customer who is already committed to buying something from you. One more time. The act of selling products or services to a customer who is already committed to buying something from you. So whenever I read that definition, I said, okay, all right, that's what it is. It's the act of selling product or services customers already have. I want to spin that definition. I'm going to create a new definition for everybody, and then we're going to jump into you guys' feedback. I've changed one word in the definition, and it suits what I believe as a marketer, as a sales guy, that is more important than the act of selling products. Okay, y'all ready? Yeah. Jamar's like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm going to change it to the art of selling products or services to a customer who's already committed to buying something from you. The art of selling, not the act of selling. Because ultimately, selling is an art, right?
We're going highbrow now. Come on, talk to me.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's an art. And there's that awareness piece when you're out there in the field. The reality of it is the guys, everybody's just hustling. We're working. We're cutting grass. We're just like, man, we're getting on to the next job. We got to get this done. We got the next thing we got to get on to. And everybody's got their heads down and they're getting done with what needs to be done. But there's not really a whole lot of motivation or incentive to kind of take a look around and see other products and services that your company offers that you could be selling to a client that you already have. And we don't do that well. We don't. Now, I can go drive around some of these houses, you know, once or twice a week, and I can look around and I can go buy some houses, check some houses, and I can say, oh yeah, they did a really good job on the yard, but the shrubs look like crap. I'm like, hey guys, I mean, we've got an incentive plan in place where people get compensated an additional 10% by referring business internally, right? So they can get a bonus payment for referring that additional service to our company, but no one's doing it. And the reality of it is, having been on the truck, I know why they don't do it, because I didn't do it whenever I was on the truck. So I want to know from you guys, Is this something that you guys struggle with also? And if it is, what are you doing to ensure that you're capturing as much business from your clients as you possibly can and maximizing that dollar from your client? Jamar, you're an expert in the communication side, right? You are, man. I mean, let's not kid ourselves. You're great at talking to people. I think you're dialed into the art of selling piece and not just the act of selling. Is this something that you guys are going through, and what are you doing to overcome it?
Yeah, I mean, y'all heard me talk about the subscription model. One of the reasons why we went that route is because I am terrible with this. I am terrible following up. I like to make the sale and then just kind of, you know, we go on to the next one, right? So one of the reasons why we started kind of the subscription model and adding on bed maintenance and, you know, fertilizers and stuff like that is because that way I can make the sale once, right? One of the things I learned from a lot of these other home service businesses that do a lot of one-time jobs, they talk about the metric of average ticket price, right? And so I was like, well, that's not something we talk a lot about here in lawn care. We just really talk about what it is per cut, what it is per acre, what it is per square foot, that type of thing. But we don't think about the ticket price. And so I thought to myself, okay, how can I raise that initial sale ticket price? Because then it becomes an absolute multiplier, right? If you think that, you know, somebody that gives you $2,000 a year is going to stick with you for 5 years, that's a $10,000 sale. But what if I can take that $2,000 a year and make it $2,500 a year or $3,000 a year, mm-hmm. right? That then becomes a $15,000 sale. Right. If, you know, we're thinking about the lifetime access to that. So to get to my point, one of the reasons we did that is because, you know, because I don't go back, and by the time it's time to get those shrubs pruned, it's already ugly. What if we can build that into their monthly subscription, into their monthly plan, to where it always gets a little bit of something every 2 weeks or every month or every week or whatever the case. I have some of them we go twice a week. You know, they got a lot of plants, flowers, deadheads, stuff like that. And so that was the thing that I did for us, because even to this day, I have a hard time with going back and looking. And my guys are incentivized too, right? Hey, man, you get $20 if we can get, you know, if you see something, take a picture of it. And they do a good job of it, but it's not the same. And then the other thing that I've done, just so we can get this out of the way and let everybody else talk, is for our premium customers, we used to give everybody a discount for like going weekly. But what we've done is realize that those who are weekly are people who are not price sensitive, right? Yeah. And so we actually stopped giving that discount per se. And then one of the ways we sell that premium plan that's weekly is we also say we're going to do regular property assessments. And so with that price increase, I've taken that extra money and I'll utilize that to kind of recoup the money back to go do assessments myself, quarterly or monthly or that type of thing, just to make sure we can recoup that money. And so those are a couple of things that I'm doing right now, just to kind of set things in place for me, because I am one of those guys that, like, look, I'll make that sale and then I'll put my head down and go work on a website or go, you know, chase a squirrel or whatever the case may be. And then, you know, and I think I shared the story with y'all several episodes back. I lost one of my premier customers because I didn't pay attention to her shrubs and somebody else did.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I remember you mentioning that.
Mm-hmm.
Curious, how many of your clients right now are on that plan that basically encompasses and includes everything? What percentage would you say?
If you want to say everything, so like from the
Shrub cleanups, monthly weeding,
and the fertilizer and the mowing, we're probably about like 20%.
How many?
20%.
20%?
And about 40 to 50% are on one or the other. Right? Okay. Maybe they don't have or fertilizer, but they at least have some type of bed weeding or bed program. And really the ones that don't just only have mowing is a lot of, cause they're already my customers and I haven't gone back and sold them on the new packages that we have.
Yeah.
Cause I got them on before we kind of really started doing this last year.
Have you driven up on any of these properties and just rolled up and seen shrubs that are just completely overgrown and you're like, man, why didn't anybody say anything about this? Do you experience that too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But the other thing is like, you know, a lot of homeowners don't see it.
Yeah.
Until somebody else points it out to them.
Uh-huh.
Right. Which is also a beautiful, it's a great way for us to upsell. It's because, you know, if you notice Miss Sally down the street just got mulch, that mm-hmm. is a perfect time to sell your client on mulch. Say, hey, I noticed Miss Sally down the street got her mulch. It's mulch season. Do you want us to go ahead and take care of that? Or is that something y'all going to do on your own?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, she did. So they'll look out. They'll look down the street, you know. That's funny. And they go, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, that'd be great. Thank you. Right. Because uh-huh. that's social proof, too. That a lot of people don't understand. Like everybody thinks about like leaving reviews. Right. Or having reviews is social proof. But the other social thing, the thing that we thought went out in the eighth grade, it's called peer pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And if you can point down the street that somebody else got something done, I mean, slam dunk, because yeah. Miss Sally just gave Susie permission to take care of that mulch.
Yeah.
Right. And so absolutely that fear of missing out. So that is the perfect time, right? Like if I was a person who sold fire ant treatment, the perfect time to sell fire ant treatment is when the kid steps into the mound
mm-hmm.
and gets ate up by fire ants. Well, yeah. The FOMO is there. The new mulch is down the street. Let's utilize that.
Yeah.
Right. That's the perfect time. And don't let that slip off.
Yeah. That's a great point too, because I mean, ultimately, right, sales is all about pointing to the pain, right? That's the deal. It's like you want to direct their attention to the pain, because then that way you kind of get into that empathy card, and you know, that's when you start bringing the business. Awesome points, man. Mr. Reed up in South Carolina, what are your thoughts on this, man? You guys rolling up on houses and finding out there's all kinds of stuff you could be selling that you're not.
Yeah, I think that's pretty normal. You know, for most people, the challenge is, you know, getting systems in place and getting the right incentives for you guys to help you sell that stuff. But I would say, you know, you said it's the art. I would say define it as the habit of selling to your customers, you know, getting those systems in place and making it a habit for yourself and for everybody else. Because you really don't have to be that good at sales. All you got to do is just ask. And most of the time you'll get the sale, because, you know, all we're doing when we go to the properties is we're looking for problems to solve, and, you know, we're just offering a solution to the customers. But we've tried to get, you know, we're constantly trying to add things to encourage our staff to upsell more. You know, one of those things is, you know, having a better software to be able to set to send the estimate, where you can have those upsells where customers can just check them off. And we use HoneyBook. I think you guys were talking about that with your CRM earlier. It's nice to be able to have an estimate where you can add on extra services, because, you know, like Jamar, you know, we do 12 monthly payments. So it's pretty cheap. If somebody wants to add on fire ant control for the year, you know, it might be 10 or 12 bucks, and it's much easier to sell it that way than, you know, this will be 120 bucks to come out and treat you for fire ants, and it's going to last a year. So things like that. This year we're going to we've tried this before, but we're going to start going to each property that signs up, and we're going to measure all the mulch beds and take pictures of the you know, the four sides of the house, so that we are able to, from the office, you know, Ibrahim and the guys in Bangladesh can look at that, count the number of shrubs. We know the square footage of the bed, so we can go ahead and proactively send those estimates before they have to request them. So, you know, we'll have all that data that'll be stored on each customer, which will make that, you know, make that upselling a lot easier. But it's a big part of our business, and it's not only important, like Jamar said, not only are you increasing the revenue from that customer in that year and increasing the transaction amount, but The more services you sell to a customer, the longer that customer is going to stay with you. So it's going to increase the lifetime value in that way as well. Because I think I might have shared with you guys a statistic that I heard was if you're only selling one service to a customer, the average lifespan of that customer is about 10 months. If you sell them two services, that goes up to about 3 years. And if you sell them three or more services, I think it jumped up to like 8 or 9 years. So, you know, that just says, you know, people don't like change. So the more you can offer a customer, the harder it is to replace you. And, you know, the more likely that they're going to stay on with you for longer. So you'll be able to get that, you know, all that extra money for a longer time.
The habit of selling. Man, he just took my altered definition of it and just like swung it into this new thing. And
that's what he does.
You're 100% correct, man.
The sod father.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a great point, because you mentioned HoneyBook, you mentioned systems, processes in place. It could be something as simple as a checklist that a crew has when they before they leave a job, right? So our guys are taking a before photo, they're taking an after photo, they're tracking their time when they're on the job, but we don't have a system in place that says, hey, make sure that you check this, 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 and this before you drive away, and we make that part of the process, right? It's just not part of our process. So to your point, there's no habit, right? There's no habit in doing it. The guys, you know, they might be incentivized by an additional 10% on a $50 markup project that's going to give them an extra $5 in their paycheck. That obviously all adds up over time. But maybe they just don't see it that way, that, yeah, it's $5, man. I'm too busy. I got stuff to do, you know? And they just keep kind of rolling through it. The habit, super input. Sandy, what are your thoughts on this, bud?
Yeah, actually, this year is probably the best year for me to actually start to put this into play. I was able to take a lot from what Jamar was doing and a lot of different folks as well, as far as offering different options. You know, to Mike's point, you know, back in South Carolina, I was only offering one service, right? Mow, Edge, and Blow and Go. And then obviously if any services would come up, we would go through and, you know, quote them out and hopefully get the sale. But something that I started to do differently this year and here in Florida is that now when I present a client with a quote, I present them with a lot of options. So you have your basic package, you have your premium package, and then some additional add-ons. And so far, I mean, most folks tend to go with the more premium package. And it's, you know, because I'm giving them that option right there and then. So I don't have to upsell them later down the line. Hey, your beds are starting to look a little bit overgrown or unkept. You know, why don't we add that as a service? So that's just an example, right? So it's helping me start to make that one client, I don't want to call it a ticket item, but it just helps me allow me to provide them more services and a more seamless approach. So, you know, that's something that I'm focusing on heavily this time around, is just being able to present them with options upfront, packaging things together to allow them to pick what's going to work best for them.
Great thoughts. And you ultimately, it brings me back to also a quote, and William, you're going to be on deck here, because when we were talking in previous podcast about structuring our packages, right? What do those look like? William is that William Zimmerman school of thought is, if you give people three options, they're going to choose at least the middle package. They're never going to choose the bottom package that has all those services. In your case, most people are choosing the premium package. Would you say that's pretty accurate?
Yeah. So yeah, for sure. So far, everyone that I've presented it to here has gone with the premium option, which is fantastic. Again, it kind of cuts down in me having to go back and try to upsell them on, you know, trimming the bushes or handling the ornamentals and trimming those things out. Now, obviously, it does take a little bit more work in the upfront, just because I need to be familiar with what's on the property before I do that. But a lot of these newer homes or newer developments, the package is pretty much the same for all the houses. They get, you know, two palms and, you know, a couple different bushes. So I at least that gives me an idea of where I need to price at, as far as how long it's going to take me to maintain those, whether it's, you know, every two or three months or how often, however often they need to do it. So yeah, they are going with the premium. You know, it's like I said, it's just allowing me to grow the amount of services I do for them, reduces the amount of times that I have to try to upsell them. So I'm not just offering one service, I'm offering them multiple services, and they see it as getting it from one provider, which, you know, helps reduce the chances of them, you know, having to go somewhere else, to Michael's point.
In that instance, if somebody chooses the middle package, right? Because you mentioned just to me a second ago that you're going to upsell them on the additional services that you guys offer. So if they choose the bottom package, right? I'm going to take the stretch here. If they choose the bottom package of all your packages and you want to upsell them on your additional services, how do you do it? What's your technique?
Hey, simply, you know, because currently I'm still the owner operator, so I have a you know, I would say a sharper eye when it comes to finding opportunities to be able to upsell, or finding, you know, just opportunities in general when I'm on property. So I'm going to be looking out for these things, and I'm going to be educating and educating and educating the client as any opportunity I can get to educate them on, you know, whatever's going on with their exterior, landscaping, you know, whatever it is. If I could become a resource for them, or go to, you know, field of knowledge, whatever it is, that's an added value to them. Okay. So mm-hmm. when the time comes and it does need to take place, or I do need to trim that palm, they're going to think of me and say, hey, you know, Sandy did tell me that it's about this time that it's time to start clipping these things, or, you know, so they're going to think of me immediately. So it's just an easier transition. I'm already on site, so it's already an easy transition. But just, I think, educating them over time, pointing things out, being able to, you know, snap a picture of something if you see that something's wrong, or, you know, something's overgrown, and just sharing that with them, and making the emphasis that I am paying attention to these things to ultimately get me to that sale, or just as an added package to their service.
I think my big takeaway there on your comment was two words: add value. Right. Exactly. As long as you're adding 100% value to the conversation, then likely you're closer to reeling in that additional business. Thanks, Sandy. William, what are your thoughts on that, man? When you guys go out there and somebody says, oh, I just want mowing, but you've got five different services that your company's offering, how are you going about either making these people aware of it, or how are you selling all the services that you offer to these people?
You beat me to my question, which was, how are you doing it? You teed it up great on, we're having this problem. And even Jamar talked about it a little bit on the internal of, here's how we're thinking about how we deliver it, or we need to follow up and incentivize our guys. And I was like, but how do we articulate it? But how do you go back and sell to them? But so you find it, or you find that thing, and your guy sends you the picture, and then you have to go tell the customer about it. What are you going to do? And how are you going to do that? So how are we doing it? We, like Jamar, building everything into the packages, which for us, even if they're at like a small, just mowing only, or middle package, the plan, because again, similar story, a lot of our existing customers weren't accustomed to this. It was a per mow price, or we told them, right, it was regular mowing, and they're like, well, what's my per mow cost? And it's like, well, it's a 35-week mowing season, and we cut 28 weeks out of the year here because it slows down in the summer. And from a sustainability perspective, we're not just going to show up and run the mowers around. Like, it bleeds into, and we truly believe it. So taking the customers from that mindset of how much does it cost per cut and how many times are you guys coming, to a package paid equally over 9 months, that itself has been a problem. Not a problem. And education, because most folks are buying their other things that way. Subscription services are moving to how more folks are digesting everything. Mm-hmm. So put that challenge aside. Then how do we go upsell them? The plan, right? And I'll be transparent, right? The plan, or at least the approach, is just being customer facing and present, right? Just asking the question to the point of habit. I think Michael said it best, and that's probably the least amount of words needing to be used there, is just asking them or telling them about it. How you then go do that, I forget who had made the point, right? I think Jamar, right? The FOMO piece of what you're doing is a great approach. For us, a lot of the folks and what we're trying to do from a customer perspective, and I don't know, we've talked about software, if Jobber has it, if right? Kind of what we're building is going to have it in it for sure. The way I describe it to a lot of my friends that don't understand why we're kind of getting into this business in general, getting back into this business, is mowing someone's lawn is the Trojan horse to have a reason to talk to that person once a week, maybe three times a week if you do it right. We're coming. We showed up. Hey, leave us a review. And we're not an annoying spammer that you're getting these random texts. Hey, your car warranty's going bad and all this other stuff. We're doing a great job. They see a before and after, and we have a reason to reach out to them. So knowing and viewing, even if they're just a mowing customer, that's great because we already have their card and they're already with us. And the ability to sell that person something else is a hell of a lot easier than getting someone brand new. So what's our overall strategy? Getting as many people in the door as we can, even if it's at the bottom level, and then viewing mowing or any of the packages as our reason to continue to stay in front of them and give them something, educate them about something, or just say hello nicely, not annoying. We're not doing it every day, but especially when we hit the high season, I've got a reason to talk to you three times that you're not going to get it and be like, oh, William's messaging me again. It's like, oh, this is great. So if in one of those, it's like, and you do this a little bit in your programs of just, it's fertilization season, it's leaf cleanup season, it's other things are going on, that same approach can be applied to the customer directly. You just have to, so how I would boil that down, your guys come to you and say, hey, there's something, or maybe they don't, and it's seasonally for whatever time that may be, or you're seeing it other places, you work it into the communication path that you're already having with that customer. Because I think what most people don't do is even that, is have some communication path, right? We are leaps and bounds ahead just by communicating with a customer versus one of the ones we had join us last week, customers that came on board. It was like, oh yeah, last year I had to chase my guy down to give him money. And I told him he cut it six times and he said he cut it eight times. And neither one of us really could remember because we didn't have a great records of what it was. And I was traveling and we were on vacation. So maybe a big long soapbox you opened up of how are we gonna do it? We're already communicating with them. We just got to be able to include that in the communication and just demystify that to say, I have a legitimate reason to keep talking to you. I'm going to keep leaning on that. And I'm going to do it in a way that gives you value, but also gives me the ability to ask you for something in return.
Great points. The staying top of mind, it is a great point. And as I mentioned a couple podcasts ago, that's one of our initiatives, right? Going into this year was making those cold calls, right? Making, you know, 10 cold calls per day to the existing clients that we already have. Or they're not necessarily cold calls. I guess it'd be warm calls, right? Because they're already a client. But also making some cold calls to some leads that we have and just kind of staying top of mind, keeping that communication out in front of everyone. You mentioned we're pretty good about marketing as a company. Ecomo is. We're always pushing out constant contact emails.
That's right. Cause I got an email from you. I almost contacted you that, you know, hey, hook me up with some fertilizer in my lawn.
I've been getting a few too, actually.
they are fantastic.
I was like, man, can you change the logo real quick?
Hey, you can change it. I'll send it to you and you just put your name on the top and make it your own. How's that? Yeah, no problem with that.
Well, wait, Steven, but think about that for real, right? Like, you crush it in marketing and obviously with Lawn Pro and what you're doing, it's like there's two different problems to solve. Knowing that there's something the customer might need to upsell for them, just in like general observing the lawn and seeing it. And that could even be done because I think you even have the guys take a picture of the front, which doesn't give you everything, but a picture of when it's done. The same exact thing that's happening on just the marketing plan and in general, that's kind of bigger initiatives three or four times or eight times a year, whatever it is, right? The mosquitoes, the mulching, whatever else needs to be. That same thing can go to the customer of maybe even this post-COVID, putting it on them a little bit. Like they want to have the handheld and Jamar, right? Peaceful. We got it taken care of for you. But opening that line of communication to say, anything else you need help with? Like, we do a lot and we're not going to scream all the different services at you, but like, how can we help you? If it's not us, I'm sure we know someone, because all of us have that. The areas we're not going to take on, the insurance, we're not going to get to climb trees, the other things we're not going to do. And we talk to our guys, like, anyone ask you for anything, tell them, if we don't do it, we will help you find someone to do it. I want to be, and whether that's we actually sub it out, we refer it, we take a little bit off the top, or we just say, hey, talk to this guy because we love him and trust him and have a great relationship. Figure all that out later. The customer doesn't need to know any of that on the back end. They just need to know you need anything outside. We believe sustainability, we got you, right? Same thing, right? Eco mode, which you believe peaceful, we got you covered, right? As long as the customer knows that, whether your guys are finding it or whether you're going to them and asking, saying, opening the door at least to say, what can I do? I think that's maybe demystifies it even for you a little bit of facing that challenge. You already got it, right? You already got it.
Sean, what are your thoughts?
This is great. No, I couldn't agree more. You know, we definitely missed a lot of opportunities last season by not upselling enough of our customers or making them aware, I guess, even that we offer different services. You know, as I really started diving more into our client base this off season, I realized I think we were up well over 150 customers last year in total. And just a lot of them were buying one service from us. And as I started, you know, digging a little bit deeper, reaching out to a few of them, started realizing that many of them didn't even realize that we offered the other services that we had. You know, I had this one lady, one of our fertilizer customers for the last couple of years. I reached out. I happened to call her. I don't even remember how the conversation started, but she mentioned an issue with the company she had doing her mowing last year. And I said, oh, well, you know, we can help you with that. Oh, I didn't even know you did that. I thought it was a separation of church and state with mowing and fertilization, you know. And so it's really a lot of times it's just like several of you said already. It's just making the suggestion, letting them know that you offer the service. I think something else, too, that I have noticed, a lot of people don't even they don't even realize they have an issue, maybe they walk by it every single day. They just gloss over it, right? Think about stuff in your own shop. You know, you've got or like you know an issue with your truck or your trailer or something like that. You just kind of get used to it. You get numb to it. So I think putting it in front of them and making them look at it, I think sometimes can just be enough to spark that interest too. But, you know, like Michael said, just getting in the habit of doing that regularly. So one of the things that we're going to be working on this year is, you know, we're training our employees right from the beginning as they're going around the properties to be looking around for opportunities, for things that need work, things that are standing out to them. And they're tasked with taking a picture of those things, sending them to me, and then I can circle back. I can either have, you know, if it's something simple, I can have them shoot a video or take a better picture of it while they're there. If it's something a little more detailed, I can swing by the property while I'm in the area and shoot a little video and basically put together a quote for the customer, send it over to them with the video attached, have the visual of it attached to the quote. So that, you know, there's no questions, doesn't have to be a back and forth, just keep it nice and simple. They can approve it or deny it, whatever they want to do. But now they're looking at the problem, they have a potential solution, and they know how much it's going to cost them. Just trying to remove that friction.
My question for you is, you brought up something that has always intrigued me, and that is the holding your people accountable to making sure that, you know, they're keeping their heads up and they're looking at everything and that's kind of the requirement. How are you holding them accountable to make sure that that gets done?
It's a good question. You know, it's definitely going to be a new practice for us this year. So we're still trying to figure out the finer details. You know, as you mentioned earlier, you have incentives in place for people, but you find that they're just not following through. You're not getting any pull through on it. My honest answer is I'm not totally sure yet. We're still trying to work that out. I don't know if it's going to be a flat price that we offer for every new business that somebody brings in, or whether it's a percentage of the service that they're selling in. So we're still kind of ironing out the details of it. For me, looking at it from the beginning of the season here, before we really get into the nitty gritty, I've been a lot more selective on the employees that I bring in this year. I've probably met with 30 people now for three positions. And so really making sure that we have the right employees in place with the right mindset, making sure that we're emphasizing the importance of everybody bringing, not only performing the work, but bringing in new business as well. Letting them know that the job security here is based on us continuing to have work to do and them performing it at a high level. It's got to be finding the work, selling the work, completing the work, and it's got to be all the way through. We can't drop the ball on any of those pieces. Just making sure that they're bought in all the way.
Yeah, it's strange because we had one crew leader that was with us for a year and a half, probably 2 years. And he also had the same incentive plan in place, right? So he would get it was 10% of every additional service that he upsold. And this dude just crushed it. It's almost like he saw the math in it and was like, wait a second. We've got 200 at the time when he was with us, we maybe had 200 clients. He was sending in stuff like twice daily. Hey, you need to call these people because they need a shrub cleanup. Or, we've got drones on our trucks, right? So our guys can fly a drone up and they can do a gutter inspection and do an upsell. So, I mean, we provide the tools that people need, like, so they can do a roof inspection for, channel areas on roofs that get accumulated with weed leaves. They can send those pictures back to us and we can send them to the client and do the upsell. And we had this one guy who just absolutely crushed it, man. He was like, I got this. And he was bringing in an additional couple hundred bucks every single month on his bonus pay. And we just thought, like, okay, that's the answer. It's what we got to do. It's all we got to do is offer this 10% and everybody else is going to do it too. And then for the last year, we've been offering that same thing. And everybody's like, they don't even care. it just blows
Let me ask you this: when you had that guy on, were you sharing his successes with the rest of the team?
I don't know, Sean. I'd have to reflect on that. I would say that if I didn't immediately answer yes, then probably I wasn't.
My background, before I got into before I started this business, I was in beer sales for about a decade, and I was a sales manager for a while, ran a couple of different sales teams. And, every team I managed, we had some people, you've got your portfolio of beers that you're selling, right? And you've got your route that you're running to do those sales. And we've got good sales reps that would consistently, hit their numbers, even exceed their numbers, but they were just focused on selling the portfolio and they went out and they did the same thing every day. And they just kept hustling through it and powering through it. And then we had other sales reps, that we would put additional incentives and they would see those, the opportunities there. And they would just go out, if we had a 1 month push on a particular brand, they'd say, oh, I'm getting a bonus for that. I'm going to knock that out of the park. And it's, just having the right people in place that want to go above and beyond and try and earn that extra money, try and prove their worth to company. But then also at the same time to try and get everybody else to buy into it, making sure that there is that loop, that follow up, and showing everybody, hey, this is what can be done. This is what can be achieved. This is how much more money this person is making, because they're focused on these items that we're putting in front of you. They're taking advantage of these opportunities.
Yeah, absolutely. It brings me back to my old days. I mean, obviously I've always been in sales my whole life. So, I mean, I'm almost 50. So I've been in sales for almost 30 years. But being a physician recruiter, I was on a sales team and we would have these meetings in the morning, and then we would have a meeting at the end of the week, and we would have celebrations, and there was like a bell, right? And every time anybody brought in a contract, you ring the bell. So
ding,
you made me think of something that's actually a really good idea. I'm so glad this is going to be my takeaway. We're not even done yet. There might be a better takeaway than this, but so far this is what I got. And that is like a board in the shop that is showing and tracking these bonuses that people are being paid for referrals, internal referrals. So if I've got like a whiteboard in the shop that everybody can see every time somebody does an upsell, that can get written down and it can be tracked. So at least everybody else sees that, right? I think there is I'm on to what you're saying. You're 100% correct. What a great idea. I'm not putting it in front of everybody. I'm not sharing it with everybody else that Adrian, you know, a former crew leader, was making $200 a month on bonus commissions. I don't know about you, but everybody wants an extra $200 a month. Yeah. And maybe these people just had no idea that this person was even bringing in that money, you know, upselling those additional services.
One of the other tactics we use to try and get buy-in in a team and in a group on things like that as well, too. If we were running a specific incentive, you know, if you just say whoever gets the most upsells in a given month gets a bonus, right? Well, you might find that month after month, you've got one person that's just killing it. And you know, they do deserve to get that bonus too. But then everybody else just kind of trails off and stops even trying for it.
Yeah.
So one of the things that we experimented with in a few of the positions I was in is we would kind of create a monthly lottery. So every time you get an upsell, you get an entry into that lottery. And so that way, like, people don't feel like, well, I'm out of it, I'm not going to get the bonus, I'll just give up and mail it in. They'll keep trying. They're not going to get as many opportunities. So more than likely, the person that's getting the most is going to be the one that gets the bonus. But it still gives everybody a chance at it. Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. So it's almost like having a fishbowl, and every time anybody closes a deal, you're getting a ticket and you're writing your name on it and you're putting it in the bowl. And then at the end of the month, you're drawing from the bowl. And he who has the most referrals has the most tickets in the bowl, but everybody's got a chance.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. That's awesome. Hell yeah. I'm a fan. Dan, I'm not going to leave you high and dry, buddy.
Yeah. So I think I saw something the other day. I think I was talking to my wife about it. I think sales guys like to show off their awards more than they like to show off their money. So
yeah,
just something to, you know, think about.
Sure.
Some of those guys like awards. Oh, I got the, I sold the most or XYZ and got this certificate or whatever. Similar to what you guys were saying, a lot of it's going to be trying to see if our guys can take a look at the property, send us some notes back to us, and then we'll be able to share that estimate right after we see it. We send the estimate out to them, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
But again, this is how do we incentivize or get our personnel on the field to do that? It's really creating that habit and then also incentivizing them to be able to have that. So giving them a fixed rate or a percentage or something from that to them, to them be able to make some extra money. That way the company actually makes money as well. But you have to find the right mindset at people to have that, though. A lot of people will be the ones that are always there, come to work, and they don't really care about getting more. They just want to work. Just come in and do a good job, not the bare minimum, but a good job, but they don't want to go above and beyond because they're like, that's not my business.
I don't.
I just need to get the work done. But there's some people that will work hard and say, you know what? I want more. I want the company to grow. As it grows, it gives me more opportunity. That's the kind of people you got to find. And I think that's the challenge into that. And then you become lead with an example, right? You show them what you're doing out in the field. If you're not doing it, why do you expect your team to do it?
Right.
Right. So if we're not able to perform that exact duty, then our team's not going to be able to do it. So,
Well, that's how you make it their business too. That was a great thing you said, right? Some people come in and they want to do a great job. It's not knocking them. They want to do a great job.
You need those people, right?
Great job and go home. Heck yeah, you do. Yeah. Because if not, you have too many right cooks in the kitchen. We said that on one of our first orientation days. It was like, everyone can have an opinion. Not everyone can have a vote. Right. And I think that's a huge way to look at it. Right. But I have a question. When you guys were talking about the payout and Steven was getting all giddy on what Sean was saying, how do you pay that out? One of them said monthly before you kind of were talking about the scoreboard. And I think that might solve it, but I was curious if there was you could track it in the business somehow, but like instant gratification, instant reward. Like you said, guys like to see the results. Like, is there that comes in, closes way, or have you ever tried or experimented with how do you get them paid quicker than, oh, that month we'll total it up and it'll be added into your check. Well, the check side was bigger. So, but the taxes came out. So you kind of don't figure it out. So I think the scoreboard kind of solves what was, I saw maybe a problem 5 minutes ago when we were on that topic, but thoughts or opinions on separating that reward or that payout out of their monthly check so they feel it more in some way?
Well, I think you almost have to from a payroll perspective. You have to either run it as a some sort of bonus.
Well, compensation. The tax will come out differently commission wise. Call it out, but I'm saying like separate check or
I think you're allowed to give a certain amount as a gift card. So if you do like a Amazon gift card or whatever has it, that's what our old company used to do. So like if you would come to work every single day for a month, mm-hmm. they'll give you an instant gift card for $100. Right. That's so cool. Like that was just a gift card. So they had like an allowance of how much gift cards they can give out a month. And then if we never ever got to that height. So it was just, right. I don't know if that's like something that needs to be looked up or whatever, but I know that's something that you can do. Like, I think even Mike Andes has something on his system where he kind of incentivizes it. If they close that deal, they get X amount of money. It's a gift card or something that just comes out of the advertisement budget. I believe that's somehow he does it.
Yeah, we don't have, so we use Lawn Pro software. It does not have anything. So we do have to track that manually, but we do pay it out monthly in cash. Right. So that's kind of how we do it. It seems to work. You can obviously put it in somebody's check if you want to. And to your point, William, when you put it in somebody's check, they probably don't realize, but whenever they actually get, you know, a couple $100 or $100 extra in their hand at the end of the month or the beginning of the next month, that's usually when we would do it, the Monday or Tuesday following the beginning of the month.
Right. Right.
They're going to get an extra, you know, $100 or an extra $200. That's kind of what we've been doing to incentivize folks. And to Sean's point, and the reason why I was so enamored by Sean's point is I realized one of the key things that we're missing, and that is we're paying out these bonuses and each person individually, right? Come on, we got five guys, right?
Yeah.
And every one of them just does a badass job. So it's not like anybody doesn't do a good job, right? They, you know, they work hard and they get everything done and we have very few complaints and they are incentivized, but and again, I want to circle back around to that, you know, cause you guys are like, oh, you're so giddy over Sean's point, but it's true because we weren't broadcasting what everybody else has been getting, right? They might talk to each other, but we don't know that, you know, they might be just staying quiet about it. When we make everybody else on the team aware, hey, you know, Jonathan got an extra $200 last month because he took 30 minutes of his accumulative time over the last 30 days and referred some internal business or some leaf clean, you know, some gutter cleanups or some roof, you know, or some shrub cleanups. And it took 30 minutes of his time to make an extra couple $100. We're just not broadcasting it, right?
And even that scoreboard there, you almost don't have to put the numbers, right? If you've got this guy's got five next to his name, this guy's got two and you've got none and you know, it's 10% and you're like, you might not even need to know the full math to know that five means a hell of a lot more than my zero and that two, and each one of them is going to be chasing after. I mean, that's any sales one, right? You get the scoreboard and you get a true sales guy. All they want to do is be number one.
Right. Yeah, you're literally creating your own KPIs at the end of the day. And people love to see that. People love to see it.
Yep.
And it's going to make them competitive. It's going to make them try to beat the other guy out or person.
Yeah, internal competition, right?
Exactly.
This is funny. So, I don't know if whatever. So, there's a company that has a company in Mexico, and then they have one in Texas, out in San Antonio. And what they do, they actually compete for the same contract bid, even though it's the same company. So, like, they'll get the bid for, hey, we need to build X, and they'll actually compete against each other, and they'll send it out to, I think there's like six companies of do exact same thing, but all six of them will compete against each other on the same contract to see who gets it, either Texas, California, or Texas, Mexico, and somebody else. So,
good points. Raising that level of internal competition. So we have about 7.5 minutes left. Michael Reed, are you still on the line? I'm just asking because I'm about to throw something out for everybody. I just want to make sure you're here. You can just give me a yes. Okay, cool. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to throw out a little lightning round question for you guys. First of all, thank you, everyone. This is very helpful for me as we continue to scale our business and to scale the existing clients that we already have. Our big charge has been going out to find new clients to grow the business. And the reality of it is we've got enough clients already to where we could probably triple the business that we have if we just marketed and sold the services that we already offered to the clients that we already have. And we've
got a strong... it's going to cost you less than marketing to do it.
Absolutely. And, you know, Sean, as I mentioned, that's part of our initiative of making these cold calls, getting people on the phone, staying top of mind. We're hopping big back on the email campaigns again. We're just, you know, we're always pushing stuff out and it's working. I mean, here we are just 2 weeks on the eve of spring here, and we have seen more explosive growth. And I know all you guys have, and it's so cool to watch all of us because we've been together for a while. Jamar's got a new van with a wrap on it that's just badass. We're all doing awesome things, and we have seen some explosive growth the last 2 weeks, and it's not just by happenstance, right? This happened for a reason for us because we've been on the phone for the last 3 weeks, making phone calls to these people, having conversations, pushing out emails, staying top of mind. Guys, I had a client email me 3 days ago who's been a client of mine for 3 years. And said, hey, I just saw an email from you guys and I didn't realize that y'all did spring cleanups. Okay. This has been a client for 3 years that just assumed that we have just been doing lawn mowing services and that's the only thing that we offer. And I consider us to be a pretty good marketing team, but clearly when we start seeing evidence like that, I'm like, well, we're not as good as we thought we were. You know?
Well, just know that a lot of people don't open up their emails.
Yeah, that's true. Or so, we just don't send enough emails, right?
Or you just need to text them. Maybe text them that
100%. You're absolutely right. If we were hammering all the channels and we had been consistently hammering all the channels, this person would not have emailed us 2 days ago. They would have already known.
Yep.
And we would have been able to capture that business. So that brings me to my quick little lightning round question for you guys. And we're going to wrap this up. I'm going to hammer these at you. I'll go one at a time. You got about a minute. My big question in all of this is, should you incentivize your people to bring in additional business for your company for services that you already offer? Michael Reed, you're first up.
Yeah, of course. You know, you guys have made me think, brought up a lot of great ideas, and I've been thinking of some other ones at the same time. But being able to incentivize your guys, being able to show that in front of the rest of the team, you know, have them compete against each other. I think that's a huge component of it. I also think there's a reality that many types of people that will be in this line of work they're not salespeople. And, you know, like you said, they're in the habit, they want to go get the job done. And, you know, the more systems we can put in place to make that easier to get the work sold. Like, for example, like I said, you know, what if we paid our guys $5 to take pictures of the property while they were there servicing it? And then, you know, our guys that are paid to sell, the ones that are the good salespeople in the office, you know, they can take that data and actually do the upselling and stuff like that. So, you know, I think, like I said, I think it's very important. You want to incentivize your guys, but I also think you want to, you know, have those habits or those systems in place to make sure that that stuff gets done, because it's unlikely that most people are going to think to look for that stuff when they're in the course of their day and they're, you know, going through their daily routine. You know, you kind of have to either make them do it or have some kind of system for that to happen.
Thank you. Jamar, should you incentivize your people for upselling services for your company?
As my boy Tupac said, there's a bear in the woods and a white piss with a white fluffy rabbit. That answer is absolutely yes.
Okay.
Anytime you can get your team on the same page, moving in the same direction, the incentive aligned, you want to do that.
Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, anytime you can align, like John Marr said, anytime you can align incentives, between your employees and the company, I think it's a good thing.
William, what are your thoughts, bud?
Y E S.
We got a big Y E S. Big Y E S. Awesome. I love it. Sandy.
Hell yes. I'm a sales guy. So all day. Incentivize, sell. Let's do it.
Dan, what are your thoughts?
Yes, absolutely. You should.
Okay, guys. Well, listen, I appreciate everybody tonight. I've got some takeaways. I hope everybody else got some takeaways. I got a bunch of notes. You know, I wrote down add value, create habits, focus on missed opportunities. Systems in place, incentivizing our people, sharing the wins with the rest of the team, creating internal competition. This has been very helpful for me. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate everybody. And we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Electric Lawn Talk. Don't miss the next episode. Be sure to subscribe. And while you're at it, help spread the word by leaving a rating and review.